meats and meats and sugars, from caffeine, from bread, from dairy. And we try to focus in more on just the biblical things that Daniel and the three Hebrew children did, vegetables, water. You know, I'm telling you, like, there are so many recipes out there. So many people have researched. There are so many foods in the freezer section. You can buy vegetable bacon, vegetable sauces, vegetable hamburger patties, vegetable chicken patties. You know, if you really want to get that deep, you can do so many things. But the main thing is a time of seeking the Lord, right? Focusing on God. It's not just fasting, because I believe fasting by itself is just maybe a weight loss system. But fasting with prayer, amen, I believe that's a God-ordained system that honors God, and I believe it speaks to us. And so I'm going to leave it up to you, though. You say, I can't do a Daniel fast, Pastor. Well, can I just ask you to do what you can? Maybe you can fast one meal. Maybe there's a certain type of food that you can fast that maybe you just feel like you can't live without, but it's not going to cause you any problems if you put it aside. I'll be honest, if you're a coffee drinker like me, if you're a sweet tea drinker like me, you're going to get a headache. I usually get a headache when I first start fasting for a day or so, and it's a little difficult, but I'll tell you what, if you can work through those detoxification systems, if you can work through the first initial stages, I'm going to tell you what, it'll be beneficial to you, friends. I want to be beneficial to the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask you, join me. You pray about what God wants you to do, okay? If you can't do a Daniel fast, well, just do something. And you know, some people say, well, I'm going to fast Facebook. Or I'm going to fast social media. Well, you know what? Fasting is not really necessarily social media and Facebook. It's food. It's denying your body of something that it needs so that you can give God what He desires from you. Okay? And so I want to challenge you. Now, if you want to fast Facebook, go ahead and do that too. But see what God would have you do. We're going to start this tomorrow. My wife and I, we're going to celebrate our anniversary today. Kind of hard to fast when you celebrate, right? So we'll have a good lunch today. And then we're already planning our groceries. And so we're going to do our best to honor God. And I'll be honest with you, it's not easy. It's never easy. But anything worth having is going to cost you something. Right?
Amen.
And if the Lord means anything to you, He means everything to you. And so I just want to encourage you, if you can do something, please join with us and let's just put together our fasting efforts and let's honor the Lord for the next 21 days. We'll do this for 3 weeks. We'll end up on the 28th of Sunday. Will be our last day. I know that sounds like a long time. Maybe you can't do 21 days. We'll do 10 days. But do something, okay? Honor the Lord and let's see what God will do. And just, I won't know what you're doing. So you're not answering to me. It's between you and the Lord. This is a commitment you make with God. And so I just encourage you, help us out. And let's see what God has planned for us this year. I believe God's got some good things for us this year. You believe that? I believe that. I believe that we have yet to see the best that is yet to come. And I believe 2024 can be a pivotal year for this church and for your life. And so let me just encourage you to do that and join with us for the next 21 days beginning tomorrow. Amen. Everybody still good? Anybody stomach growling? Just thinking about it? All right. Well, let me begin by welcoming our online service church members today, those that might be joining us. So are we ready to do that today?
I'm already on there.
Well, never mind. Hey, guys, welcome today for being with us in service. And we just want to say Happy New Year to you and encourage you just join with us in whatever God is saying for you. We're challenging people to fast and join with us, so definitely come along beside us. If you have a prayer request, let us know what that is. I'd love to pray for you, but thank you for being with us today in service. And we're fixing to get started. Amen. I titled this message today, What Can I Expect in 2024? I was praying and just saying, Lord, what are you saying to us? And I can't really honestly tell you that I had a revelation from God, I was looking for some specific words from God specifically to give you about what our future is as a church. And you know, I talk about open doors because 5784 is the Hebrew year that changed in September, but 2024 coincides with that. And a lot of people have said this is the year of the open door. Well, the open door to what? Well, I believe it's the open door to deliverance. Amen. I believe it's the open door to what God desires for us. I believe God has plans for us. But I really want to just kind of bring you in today just to some simple truths. Is it okay if I just be simple today?
Yeah.
The Word of God is simple in a sense, although it is so deep. it's so simple to those that need the simple truths of God's word. But I want to just challenge you today about what we can expect this year in 2024 from God. Has God ever let you down? Will God ever let you down? I've got three quotes for you. Let me just put one of those up there today. It said this. Somebody said that less expectations bring fewer disappointments. Yeah, maybe so. You know, if you don't expect nothing, though, how do you know if you're going to be disappointed, right? Amen. Here, look what another writer said here. Let me just show you this. Sam Walton. How many of you know who Sam Walton is? The entrepreneur of Sam's and Walmart. He says, high expectations are the key to everything. So do we have no expectations or do we have high expectations? Think about that. Yeah, I think you got to have some expectations, friends. I really do. And if you don't have any expectations, then what you know what God wants to do for you. Stephen Furtick, he's a pastor. You'll see him if you've ever watched the Elevation Church. He said if God always met our expectations, he'd never be able to exceed them. Right. How do you know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or even imagine? Amen. Amen. God doesn't always meet your expectations because sometimes he wants to go far and above your expectations. God wants to do more for you than probably you want to do for yourself. I think God wants to do more for this church than we can even imagine as a church that we want God to do for us. You know, we're thinking about God, get us back in our building. That's our expectation. We want to be back in our building this year. We want to celebrate our 75th anniversary in July. We just want to be gung ho for what God has for us. But could it be that God has bigger plans than that? Could it be that God wants to reach a community for Jesus? Could it be that God wants to reach those 5,000 residents for the Lord? Could it be that God wants to speak into two schools that are surrounding that church with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God wants us to have an impact in those schools in our community? Could it be that God doesn't want to have just two church services in that place, an English and a Spanish, but could it be that God wants to have three or four services in that building?
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we underestimate and underexpect what God wants to do in our lives. What can I expect for 2024? Well, that's a deep question. And I'll be honest with you, check back with me on December 31st. And we'll talk a little bit more about this fact. But there are three things, and I'm just going to give you different scriptures today, okay, that I see that God wants to do for us or that we can expect from God. Okay? Three things that I think that we can expect from God for 2024. And here's the first one, is that God's love will never fail. God's, I mean, come on, isn't that true? That's not something that's contrary to God's word. I'm not making up some revelation about what God wants to do, but I'm telling you a simple fact that no matter what happens in 2024, you can expect that God's love will never fail you.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, the modern English version says this, if I speak with the tongues of men, let me just read some of this chapter, okay? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not, love wants not itself, and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself improperly, seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, and endures all things. Look what verse 8 says. Love never fails. Can I tell you, friends, 2024, God's love will not fail you. God can't love you any more than he loves you right now. He loves you so much. His love is so great that it's so deep for you. Amen. You can't even imagine how much he loves you. And it hurt. I believe, you know, if he can have emotions, it would hurt him to see sometimes how little we love him back. Love never fails. But look what he says. If there are prophecies, they shall fail. If there are tongues, they shall cease. And if there is knowledge, it shall vanish. For right now, what? We know in part. We prophesy in part. I wish we knew more. Amen. But when that which is perfect comes, then that which is imperfect shall pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, okay, ladies, you became a woman, you put away childish things. For now we see as through a glass dimly, but then face to face I shall know, even as I also am known. So now, abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But what? The greatest of these is
love.
Love. And I'll tell you what, God's love for you will never fail. God loves you so much, friends. I wish I could even begin to express that. God's love is powerful. It's enduring. It's everlasting. And no matter what goes on in our world this year, no matter what happens in our government, no matter what happens in the 2024 elections, no matter what happens overseas in every nation, tongue, tribe, and kindred, I can tell you today that God's love will never fail you. You know, the New Living Translation says this about verse 8. It says, prophecy is speaking in unknown languages, and special knowledge will become useless. But look what it says. But love will last how long?
Forever.
Forever. How long is forever?
Infinite.
It's forever, right? Hey, man, I'm thankful for 35 years. Well, probably really about 37 years because we dated for almost a couple years before we got married. I'm thankful for 37 years that my wife has loved me. And I'm thankful for 37 years I've gotten to love my wife. But you know what? That's just the drop in the bucket of the love that God has for us and how long. I told my wife, I said, let's do 35 more. We'll both be in our 90s, but hey, we can do it. Because love. Hey, love lasts forever. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. I want to tell you what, friends, love can do so. Love can cause your enemies to be at peace with you. Love can turn the situation and circumstances in your life completely around. Your job, it might be going down the drain, but love can change everything. Amen. Your hope for today and your future, amen, might be undecided and uncertain, but love can keep you in a steady path that you'll trust God no matter what happens in our world. Love is amazing, friends. Can I just, come on, would you just poke somebody and say, hey, I love you. Come on, tell them, keep loving. Look how the Message version says this. In different translations. Look how the Message version says, it says, love never dies. How do you know that heaven and earth shall pass away? But God's word will not until it's all fulfilled. But look what it says about love. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limits. We know only a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. For right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Look what he says. Trust steadily in God, that's faith. Hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. Are you a lover? Do you love God extravagantly? Do you love God as he loves you? Probably we can't. Because how can a human love a supernatural being like the supernatural being, the divine loves us. But we can try. We can try to love God. Amen. The Bible says we should do what? Love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, our strength. And then it says that one that we don't want to hear sometimes is love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's the difficult one sometimes, isn't it? But love. Can I tell you, friends, if you don't love your neighbor, guess what? Love still never fails. Love will endure. It's the most precious thing we have. Love. Can I tell you why love will never fail, though? Love will never fail because God is love. Right? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, if you back up to verse 6 with what it says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. You want to be a greater lover? Love God. Let God's love live in you. You live in God, friends. Come on. We can love Because God is love. And if God is love, can I tell you what's not going to fail? Love is never going to fail. Because God can't fail. Here's a song we used to sing. It's kind of it's not really a church song necessarily, but it says, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail because Jesus never fails. God never fails, friends. And because God never fails, love never fails. You know, even Jesus says, you know, in the Old Testament, it was commanded basically to give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, I'm commanding you to love one another. Bless those that persecute you and use you. Love your enemies. Pray for those. You know, Jesus gives us this whole greater commandment of love and what love is. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You know, that's the most simplest scripture of all. The one that everybody's probably heard at some point, most people have. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Why is that? Because his love never fails. No matter what you've done or where you go or how much you've hurt his heart, his love for you is always the same. Friends, the Bible says that he wishes that none should perish. That's because he loves creation. But that all should come to repentance. So I can tell you today that 2024, you can expect God's love never to fail. It's just a simple truth, right? Now let me give you a second simple truth. Second of all, what can I expect in 2024? That God's plans, his purposes, and his promises will prevail. God's plans, purposes, and promises will prevail. His love will never fail. His plans, purposes, and promises will prevail. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. He said, in this confidence I plan, and this is Paul talking to the Corinthians about an issue where he had planned to come to them twice, one going to Macedonia, one coming back. But because of some issues and because of some things that were being said and some hateful things, he didn't come back. So they were saying, well, Paul, you're wishy-washy. You're fickle. You say one thing and do something else. Your yes is no and your no is yes. You know people like that? They tell you yes, they probably mean no. He said, in this confidence, talking to the Corinthians, I planned to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, to visit you while going to Macedonia and to come again to you from Macedonia. And then be sent by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do this lightly, or the things that I planned, do I plan according to the flesh, so that I would tell you yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is true, we did not tell you yes and no. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by Silas, Timothy, and me, was not yes and no. In him it is yes. Look at verse 20. I love this. For all the promises of God are in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, is God who also has sealed us and established the guarantee with the Spirit in our hearts. You see, friends, the Corinthian Christians accused Paul of being fickle, and instead insisted that Paul, if he were a man of integrity, he would have come in person. Paul's change of plans made the Corinthians say that Paul must be a man who says yes but means no, and says no but means yes. And because of that, they criticized him, and they criticized his faithfulness and his integrity, and they seized upon these circumstances to make Paul look bad. One writer said it was all right for the Corinthian Christians to be disappointed that Paul didn't come and visit them, but they were wrong in trying to blame Paul for the disappointment. They needed to see Paul's heart and God's plan and his hand in the circumstances. You know, friends, can I tell you that sometimes man makes his plans, but sometimes man's plans fail. Anybody ever said, man, we're going to do this weekend. We're going to go here. We're going to do that. And then something popped up. Something happened. An emergency or just a circumstance or something came about and you couldn't make it on that plane. Anybody ever been there and done that? My wife says we do that all the time. And You know, my wife loves to go, and she loves to be adventurous. And sometimes I just want to stay home. I'll be honest with you, I'm a homeboy sometimes. And I just want to stay home in the confines of my house. And it's true. My wife knows that. And I don't make any beef about it. But I really do try to be more adventurous with, especially when my wife wants to go do things. But sometimes plans fall through. Sometimes we make desires, and we give desires, and we have these purposes that we want to fulfill. And maybe sometimes we even make promises we cannot keep. Think about that. But can I tell you, friends, that God is always faithful. His ways are perfect, and His purposes will prevail. What can I expect in 2024? That my will be done? That my ways will be performed? That my purposes will be fulfilled? That I'll keep all of my promises. You know, friends, if I made promises to you right now that we would be back in our building next week, then that would be a promise I probably wouldn't be keeping. I feel like that's happened this whole year, Brother Wayne. I hope I haven't made any promises, but I have tried to encourage you. But at the same time, it's not about me. It's not about what I think or what I want to get done or what plans I have. Yes, I want to have plans, and I want to have purpose, and I want to, you know, if God wants me to make promises, I will, but I want to make sure they're God's plans, they're God's purposes, they're God's promises that we're keeping, because His will never fail. They will always prevail. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalms 33. He said, "The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plan stands firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people He has chosen as His inheritance." Friends, can I tell you that sometimes our plans will get thwarted? Amen. Sometimes God will even frustrate our plans because it's not His plans. Oh, I wish I knew sometimes the plans of God. I wish I knew what God was up to. Come on, friends. Amen. I wish that I knew this year what I could stand here right now and tell you everything that's going to happen from January through December of 2024. I wish I could. I wish I had all the answers, but friends, I have none. Only to trust in God. Only just to lean upon His understanding and not mine. Because in all His ways, He will prevail. Friends, I'm going to tell you what, the enemy cannot win because God's ways will prevail. His promises will be kept. Amen. He will fulfill His plans and purposes for you and for this church.
Amen.
I expect God to do that.
Amen.
I can't tell you all the things that that's going to entail, but I expect God to fulfill His part. Because He always does. Because He cannot fail. And if He cannot fail, His love never fails, and His plans and purposes will prevail. You know, I was been reading back about the story of Elisha, when the king of Syria sent his troops to find Elisha down in Dothan. Well, then what led up to that is that every time the king got ready to muster some troops together and attack Israel at a certain part, God would reveal to Elisha the plans of the king. And the king got frustrated because every time that they got ready to muster troops, Israel would maneuver a different direction. And God would protect them. And the king says, "Okay, which one of you guys is the traitor in here?" And I really find it interesting that one of them spoke up and said, "It's Elisha." How did they know it was Elisha? Well, do you remember what they said? I think it was in 2 Kings chapter 6. He said, "Do you remember what they said?" He says, "King Elisha knows what you're doing in your bedroom." God is revealing what's taking place in secret, basically, is what he said. But he's telling Elisha, the prophet, and the prophet is what? He's telling the king. Friends, I believe God is giving what? I believe that God is giving instruction. I believe that God is giving wisdom to the prophetic voices of our day.
No.
I believe God is revealing His promises and His plans. Maybe not just to the prophets, but to the ministers, to the servants, to the people. I love to listen to prophetic words. I love to listen to what God. There are some that I specifically key in and around because I believe that what they say will come to pass because they have a track record of truth following their prophecies. And as I watch and see what God is saying for the year and for different things, I just believe God has a plan and a purpose that He wants to fulfill this year. I don't want to get into details and in left field with that, but I believe that God still is in control, friends, of a nation, of our nation.
Amen.
Come on. I believe that our nation is still yet to receive the full benefit that God has for us. And I believe some of that could begin this year as God begins to turn some things around in our nation. Wouldn't you like to see that?
Amen.
Amen. I believe God wants to do some wonderful things because I believe there are souls that still need the kingdom message. I still believe people need to hear what God has to say to them. But God has a plan for us. And God's plan will prevail. Did my worship leader step out?
Yeah.
Okay. He'll come back in. I want to get him to start paying for me. Will you go holler at him? God's plan is looking for him. That's simple enough for me. All I need to know is just keep trusting God. So here's the third thing I want to give you today. What can you expect in 2024? His love never fails. God's love. God's plans and purposes and promises will prevail. And then here's the third one. God's church will avail. God's church will avail. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me give you a scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Look what he says. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor in God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Look at verse 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is what? His body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere in him, within himself. The church is his body. Friends, everything that Jesus does for us is what? For the benefit of the body.
Amen.
Can I tell you, friends, what you can expect this year? Amen. Is that the body is going to benefit from the head. Amen. The church will prevail. Why? Because the head will prevail. If we'll stay connected to the vine, right? If we'll stay connected to the head, friends, God's got this. God is in control of your life because you are the church. Amen. God wants you to prevail this year. God wants you to avail this year. God wants to share you with a love that never fails this year. Friends, come on, let's just stay connected to the head. And if we will, friends, we can expect that the church will avail. What did he tell Peter? Upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say your church, Pastor Keith's church. Amen. He didn't even say Vertical Life Church. He said my church. Upon this rock, my church will prevail, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's that word prevail again. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail because God's plans, purposes, and promises will. Amen. God will take care of the church, friends. You know, when you look up that word avail, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it gives you three definitions, or three different uses of the word avail. One is an intransitive verb. It means to be of use or advantage. It means to serve. Amen. Could it be that God will serve you so you can serve him? God wants to use you to serve his purposes, his plans. Amen. He'll fulfill his promises, friends. Amen. God wants to give you an advantage. And he has. And I'll share that in a minute. It's not only an intransitive verb. I wish I'd put these up there for you. But it's also a transitive verb. It means to produce or result in as a benefit or advantage. It means to gain. Amen. Not only does God want us to serve him, God wants to give us an advantage so we can gain something from him. Come on, friends. God's on your side. Amen. God's working on your behalf. Amen. You're not going to leave this place empty-handed. You're not going to leave this earth empty-handed. God has given you something to look forward to. Come on up here today. Jose, God's going to give you something to look forward to that you don't even know what it's going to be like. It's going to be so beautiful. God wants to produce a result in you. Amen. Friends, God wants the church to go. The church not only needs to serve God's purposes, but God wants the church to gain things in this kingdom. He wants us to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. He wants us to pull in souls. Friends, the church needs to be what? It needs to be a lighthouse and a hospital and a place where people can come and find freedom. It's not our efforts, friends. Can I tell you what? Our efforts will not avail. Our efforts will do nothing except cause us problems and heartaches. But Jesus never fails at anything he does. So it gives us this intransitive verb to serve. It gives us this, that was intransitive. It gives us the transitive verb to gain. And then it gives us the noun usage of avail, which means an advantage toward a goal or purpose to use. Our efforts are of little value unless God is using us. But friends, can I tell you what God wants the church? He wants to use the church this year. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to gain things from the kingdom. And God also wants us to what? To be used by him. God wants to use you. Did you know that? God has a purpose for your being. God has a plan for your existence. You're not here on accident. You're not even in this building today on accident. God has a purpose to use you to help build his church, to reach his kingdom. Why? Why do we have an advantage? Why do we have an advantage that we can avail? Well, here's three things real quick this morning. We have an advantage because, first of all, we have his word. His word. His word never fails.
Amen.
John 1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were created through him. And without him, nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Michael says the light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14, John said these words, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I tell you what the church is going to avail this year? Because we have an advantage. We have his word. We have the word. We have Christ. We have his written word. We have his spoken word. Amen. We have the living word today, friends. Amen. The church will avail because the church is the body of Christ, the word. If we'll stay connected to the word, friends, we can do all things. But if you pull yourself away from the word, you can do nothing.
Amen.
We will avail this year in one way or another because the word is still the head of this body. Here's the second advantage we have. Not only do we have the word, but we have his spirit. We have his spirit, Ephesians 1 again. Verse 14, the Bible says that the spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. You know, they're right there. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. You know why God gave us the Spirit? So we can have an advantage. You know, it is said that, especially in biblical times, that anything that was a special value, that wanted to have people know that it was belonged to somebody else or it had special purpose, would be sealed. There was a sealing that took place. You know, the tomb was sealed. That's why they tried to lie and say, well, his disciples came and stole his body because the stone that rolled across the grave was unsealed. Amen. But we know that it was the angels of heaven that unsealed that stone. The Bible talks about that in Revelation, that there's the scroll, the seven seals. And each one will be unsealed by the Lamb of God who is worthy to unseal. seal them, but nobody could unseal something except the person who has sealed it. You know, many times in the Bible, a king would give his signet ring as a seal. Just got finished reading Esther. Amen. Mordecai, where the king had signed a document that Haman had pronounced and had written up to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom of Persia, Babylon. And the king says, I can't undo what I've already sealed. So Esther and Mordecai wrote up a new proclamation and declaration that the king sealed with his ring again. Said, you can defend yourself. You can take care of yourself. We know the result of that story. But see, the Spirit is our seal. Why does God give us the Holy Spirit when we get saved? Because it's a seal to the enemy that we don't belong to him anymore. We belong to God. Come on, friends. That's to our advantage. Every time the enemy looks at you, he sees the seal of God in you and on you. And he knows that you are a special property, and that's why he will do so much and work overtime to destroy your faith and destroy your relationship with God, because there's a seal on you and he can't give it up, but you can. You can. But he can't take it away from you. The Bible says that Spirit lives in you. It'll quicken your bodies. The Spirit, that's God's guarantee, friends. That's to our advantage. How do I know the church will obey? Because God's given us his Spirit. He's given us his word. And then last of all, he's given us his gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility, look at what verse 12 says. Their responsibility is to do all the work. Their responsibility is to bring in all the sinners. Their responsibility is to knock on all the doors. I know it may not be a little facetious, because I do believe we have responsibility. But it says in verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we have all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and the complete standard of Christ. You see, friends, it's to our advantage that we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Whether we have, a lot of people believe that the true apostleship was the early disciples and Paul. Maybe that's so. I know some people label themselves as apostles. I'll leave that between them and the Lord. Prophets, I believe there are prophets today. I believe that God gives prophets messages, just like he gave Elisha the message to give to the king when every time that the Syrian army was maneuvering to attack them. Amen. God would give him words. Prophet, whether they were words of knowledge or discernment, whatever it was, God always has a man. And he has women prophets that speak his truths. But God's given us prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm a gift to you. Did you know that? I don't say that lightly. I really don't. Because as a gift to you, I have a high responsibility to fulfill God's purpose for my life. And if I fail to equip you, then I'm failing to equip the body, which is attached to the head. And so I don't think that lightly either. But friends, that's our advantage. You know, the enemy is trying to destroy the churches. He really is. There are other churches that are walking through some things similar even to ours. And I believe in this year we can expect maybe some churches. You know, the Bible says that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. I don't know. Maybe God's going to walk through the church house again. He's going to check the spirit of pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. All of those that are serving him. But friends, Friends, God's given us His Word. God's given us His Spirit. God's given us gifts. And then He's equipped you with spiritual gifts. We don't even get into that part. God's given you things to do as His children to equip you. So you can what? You can be the church, the body of Christ. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge and discernment and faith and healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. God's even given you the gift to prophesy and to work and to serve your wisdom. God's gifted you and equipped you. It's to your advantage that you become filled with the Spirit. It's to your advantage that you become baptized in the Spirit. It's to your advantage that you walk in the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. It's to your advantage that you do these things so you can be the church. That's what you can expect this year. Simple. Love never fails, right? God's plans, His purposes, and His promises will prevail. And God's church will prevail. If the church doesn't move forward, friends, then did God fail us? But God can't fail. He said, this is my church. I'm building. That might not be our plans, how He builds it. It might not be the way we want it done, but God's going to build His church. And He's going to use His body to do it. We invite your guests with me this morning.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word is been spoken to me. Thank you.
us in fulfilling His plans and His promises and His purposes in your life? Do you expect God's love to avail? Do you expect God's plans, His purposes, and His promises to prevail? Do you expect the church to avail? What do you expect for 2024? Do you expect the